Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. Those tunes are courtesy of my good friend Bobby Mackey and Alien Manor, and I'm your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from. From sleepy, cozy town to the cities that never sleep, from desolate desert to tropical paradise, and everything in between, it's greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to Campo Grande, Brazil, North Bay, Canada, Prineville, Oregon, Christchurch, New Zealand, Laramie, Wyoming, and Cinnaminson, New Jersey. So, before we start this episode, you guys, there are a couple of neat things that I kind of want to talk about real quick. The first one is that April 10th was the 6-year anniversary of Paranormal Prowlers podcast. For 6 years, an episode has been released religiously every single Monday with several bonus episodes in between as well. And I'm just super stoked and excited to see what this 7th year will bring us. So as we enter the 7th year, this is the very first episode of the 7th season for the podcast. The second thing that I want to talk about is my dog, my buddy Midnight. So you guys have heard me talk about him in the past, how he went diabetic and lost his eyesight and his hearing all at the same time. Like, that sucks, right? And to say it's been a struggle would be an absolute understatement. This poor dog never adjusted to being blind, and he was running into stuff constantly, and it was just very, very sad to see. So a few days ago, actually by the time you hear it, it would have been a little over a week, he got cataract surgery to remove it, and I tell you, it's an amazing thing. He went in as blind as a bat, and several hours later, we see him, and he is actually able to see us. Not super clear, mind you, but it takes a couple days, a few days, if you will, to get back to normal, but every day, he is improving. That's right. Let it sink in. He can actually see now. That is so amazing. So every day I'm taking pictures of his eyes just to see the difference, you know, between the days. Things that we kind of take for granted, if you will. It's like he walks up to us, he looks up at us, and he starts to wag his tail. We've had him for over 12 years. He's done this a lot, but since October, he hasn't been able to do that. We would literally have to walk up to him, put our hand under his nose, and then he could sense us, and then we're able to pet him. So I've had a few people ask me, you know, oh man, I've been considering doing this for my dog. Would you say it's worth it? And I would have to say that, yeah, if you can afford it, it's definitely worth giving them the gift of eyesight. He's a happier dog. He's more energetic. His tail is constantly wagging. It's just like a really, really great thing to see. There's a lot of eye drops involved, a lot of tests and things, so it is kind of traumatic, obviously. But the end result, for our case at least, was absolutely worth it, 100%. So this week we find ourselves in Dane Hills, located in Leicestershire's countryside. A beautiful area in England that attracts tons of visitors every year with many things to do. But if you go visit, beware, as you may just run into Black Annis, a god-awful, ugly boogie woman who hauntingly roams the countryside. Her appearance is definitely frightful. She resembles that of a witch, with her long, threatening, claw-like nails, in which she uses to skin and dismember her victims. You see, she enjoys the taste of human flesh, and, to be more specific, young, tender flesh, that of children. Her nails are more like daggers, made out of iron, and it's said that she uses these deadly weapons, her nails, she actually used these to build her own home, carving out a cave, a terrifying one at that, where she proudly hangs and displays the skin from her defenseless victims on a nearby oak tree. Like a hunter who showcases their trophies on the wall, she does the same thing. Word is, she saves the flesh from her young victims, and then she makes clothing out of them. A skirt, adds it to her belt, like a reminder, a keepsake, if you will. Ghoulish indeed. Move over, Hannibal, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Ed Gein. I think you've met your match, boys. Besides her ghastly nails, she also has teeth as sharp as sharks. Her skin is this eerie bluish color, and on top of being a cannibal, she is also on the vampiric side as she enjoys sucking the blood from her young, helpless victims. You know, Black Annis, she kind of reminds me of Baba Yaga, a cannibalistic witch who enjoys nothing more than feasting on children and terrorizing the locals. And also, why not throw La Llorona in the mix? I know, completely different, but in the sense that she's a figure that mom and dad or any adult storyteller in your life as a child, sharing stories with their young ones that, hey, if you don't behave, Black Annis or Baba Yaga or La Llorona is going to come for you. Now, throughout the 6 years of doing the podcast, I've done several episodes about mythical creatures and people, such as Krampus, the Wendigo, Baba Yaga, Alaska's Kushtaka, which is still number one listened to episode, by the way, and Hairy Man, Arizona's Red Ghost and Tombstone's Winged Monster, Arkansas's Boggy Creek Monster, England's Spring Hill Jack, Illinois' Resurrection Mary, Kentucky's Popelick Monster, Mississippi's Yazoo Witch, New Jersey's Jersey Devil, of course, North Carolina's Beast of Bladenboro, Utah's Bear Lake Sea Monster, West Virginia's Mothman, and Wisconsin's Beast of Bray Road. All differentiate on different matters, but one thing that is the same with all of these creatures and people, it brought fear into people's homes. They were terrified. And I think it's these kind of things that just kind of like amaze us, whether it's for entertainment or like, is there a possibility that this is real? Then you have like encounters where it was like, whoa, what the hell was that? Like Jersey Devil. It's always fun doing these type of episodes, let me tell you. When it comes to Black Annis, stories go on to explain that she is notorious for hiding up in trees, the dead branches holding her secrets as the predator jumps down onto her unsuspecting prey. And it's said that she picks the child that she wants, goes to that unfortunate child's home, a place that they should feel safe, and like a hungry anaconda stealing babies from their cribs through an open window in the Amazon, she is said to do just the exact same thing. You see, also, besides her gnarly teeth and blue skin and dagger nails, her arms are longer than normal. Why not? And she uses that at her advantage. Now, she's mentioned in a novel called County Folklore, and I quote, "'Tis said the soul of mortal man recoiled to view Black Annis' eye, so fierce and wild, vast talons, foul with human flesh. There grew in place of hands, and features livid blue glared at her visage, whilst her obscene waist, warm skins of human victims close embraced. Not without terror they the cave survey, where hung the monstrous trophies of her sway. 'Tis said that in the rock large rooms were found, scooped with her claws beneath the flinty ground, unquote. The boy looks up at his mother. She looks down at him with a look of disapproval. It's her husband's birthday, and their son managed to find a cake that was specially made by his favorite bakery, and his face and hands and shirt are just covered in this delicious-looking blue frosting. He looks like a mini Black anise, and she can't help herself. Geez, my boy, you better be careful. Black anise is in the neighborhood, I heard. I heard her cackling just earlier, mind you. And she is hungry and looking for her next victim. And you lathered yourself into quite the tasty marinade. She loves finding special boys that misbehave. They are most fulfilling for her appetite. To this day, I'm sure people still do this to their children. It never happened to me because, what can I say, I was a spectacularly well-behaved child. I can hear my mom and dad laughing right now. Like, what? But I did hear stories living in New Mexico about La Llorona. Whether she was real or not, the fear the children felt, well, that was real. She was the boogie woman who brutally drowns her children because her lover did not want kids of his own. And in some tales, he wanted kids, but not somebody else's kids. Then she goes on to drown them, regrets it afterwards once he leaves her, and she continues to this day, supposedly, searching for her children. Now, while she may not be real, again, the feelings the children felt about it were completely real. Just like the child in his bed, with the covers over his face. Is the boogeyman under the bed? Most likely not. You're more likely to find dust bunnies. Or a discarded toy.
Oh, that's where my G.I. Joe went.
But what they felt? Well, it would make Freddy Krueger excruciatingly proud. I found something interesting on mythologyplanet.com. Quote, according to English historian Ronald Hutton, the legend of Black Anna stems from a real person who went by the name of Agnes Scott, hence why the witch is sometimes known as Black Agnes. Agnes Scott was a Dominican nun who looked after a community of lepers in Leicestershire and lived in solitude within the Dane Hills caves. It is believed that, over time, the memory of the nun was distorted and her legend morphed into that of Black Agnes, unquote. So that's interesting that there's actually a person they believe this boogie woman used to be. A legit once-living person named Agnes Scott, who may have been nothing more than an innocent nun who was trying to help lepers. And I quote again from the same article, quote, as she lived in a cave for so long, her skin is a faded pale blue, and her eyes have become nearly translucent. In fact, according to some reports, the witch only has one eye remaining, unquote. Now, I remember, as a child, I lived in a small mountain town in New Mexico. And I lived there half the time with my mom, and the other half I lived in another small mountain town with my dad. And I remember that when we would be in the car with my mom, and we would be driving down the road, I always had this fear, and so did my sisters, that we were going to see this one individual. She was really short. She was hunched over. She had this raggedy, stinky hair. Her skin was like super wrinkly leather. She just looked super haggard. Her teeth were going in all directions. Some were missing, crooked. And when she talked, it was more like mumbling. It sounded like she was talking in tongue. And she always had this crusty, dirty beanie on her head. I don't even recall her ever putting her thumb out to hitchhike. But whenever we saw her, my sisters and I would plead, Mom, just let's keep going. We have stuff to do. Let's just keep driving. But my mom would always pull over, ask her if she wanted a ride. She would oftentimes just mumble, get in the car, shaking her head violently. So we would take her to wherever she wanted to go. Usually it would just be like a field. It wouldn't be a house or a business or anything. Then she'd want out after a couple miles. When we had food, we would offer it to her, and I know it was the nice thing to do and the right thing to do, but as a kid, I was absolutely terrified of her. She was like Stranger Danger. You open a book and there's a picture of a witch, and I swear on everything that it would be her. It would look just like her. This woman, she was my La Llorona, my Baba Yaga, and yes, my Black Annis. Here's more information when it comes to Black Annis, and again, Agnes Scott is mentioned, but with a little bit more detail. And I quote bbc.co.uk, quote, "Some people believe that the tale of Black Annis originates from Agnes Scott, a Dominican nun who wore a black habit and ran a colony to help the sick and the homeless. Following her death in 1455, her legend took a sinister turn to deter children from misbehaving. Another proposed origin of the myth is as a pagan goddess who commanded the entire world obey her. She would sacrifice others if her demands were not met by seeking revenge through any means. A further rumor is derived from a witch who accurately predicted Richard III's death." Unquote. What's interesting is that in more recent years, in 2012 to be exact, an excavation was conducted and remains were found, and they would later be identified as that of Richard III. His death was a brutal one. His remains, his skeleton, told a horrific story. He had at least 10 wounds, several injuries conducted on the top of his head. He had a dagger injury at his cheekbone, his lower jaw, and two injuries that would have proved to be fatal, both on his head. And there was much, much more that he had endured. Just very crazy. So I reached out to some of my dear friends from across the pond to ask what they think or know about our boogeywoman, Black Annis. And my dear friend, Claire Helen, who had been on at least a couple times during my radio show days, she pulled out an ancient-looking book she had, and she looked Black Annis up for me. And she also sent screenshots as well. So you will now hear a mixture of my reading inserts from a book from her collection titled Folklore, Myths, and Legends of Britain, and some recordings that she sent to me as well.
Hello, good to hear from you. Okay, so I dug out this old book that's literally falling apart, Folklore, Myths, and Legends of Britain. And there are a few references to Black Annis in here. So I'll screenshot this for you. Obviously, I found stuff on the internet, but it's probably the same stuff you've already found. So this does talk about Black Annis here. So I will screenshot it. But yeah, apparently parents in Leicestershire still threaten their kids that she's going to come and get them if they're naughty, which I think is pretty evil, actually. But yeah, so she would seize them, kids, skin them alive, eat them up, scattering their bones around her cave, and hang their skins to dry on an old oak nearby. Nice lady.
Nice lady indeed. And I'm with you, Claire. It's kind of like, unless that kid is just being so unruly and going rogue, really, I think there's probably other ways to get your child's attention in a more positive way. But who am I to talk? I guess I don't have children. But I think that this has been going on for decades or even centuries, just the whole, hey, if you don't behave, this is going to happen to you. And I'm sure a lot of the times it works. Then there's other kids who are just like, I call your bluff. Show me Black Annis, you know? So I have known Claire for quite a few years. This was at the beginning of my radio days. And when we would do recordings for the radio show, like I said, at least she had been on at least a couple times. It would be like Facebook Live, so we would be able to see each other as we talked. I've done this with a handful of people in the past, like Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, my friend Ian Vero. And it's just nice seeing these people's amazing faces and smiles as we're talking about something that we're all passionate about, the unknown. So anyways, I just want to share this one thing that happened with Claire. It was really, really cool. We were talking, Claire and I, and a lot of the time with my guests, who also happen to be my friends, we talk on the phone not only to record, but usually we talk for several minutes before recording, and then after recording we talk. She's talking about her father, who sadly at that time had recently passed away, And suddenly behind her, there's a figure that's dashing about. It's just like this like shadow-like figure, and it's moving around. And we've been talking for a good hour, probably longer, with nothing like that happening. She had been in her office this entire time and she hadn't moved, and I hadn't noticed anything prior to that. The only one that was home that day was her and her cat, and let me tell you, it was not a cat. And I remember happily telling her that, hey, I just saw this, and I explained to her like it went left or right and whatever, whatever, and that, you know, it's very possible that your dad is here with us. As literally when she began to talk about her dad, this started happening. And then when we went to another subject, it stopped. And it was just kind of a really neat moment to see, a moment between a daughter and her father that I got to see up close and to capture it. And it's a good reminder that just because they aren't here physically doesn't mean that they aren't here spiritually, and that their love does not waver, diminish, or fade away. I believe it just kind of continues to get stronger, if that's possible. So again, I just thought that was a really neat thing, and I just wanted to share it with you. And if you're listening, Claire, I mean, isn't that cool? Do you remember that? I just remember it being such an exciting thing when that happened. So in this same book that she had shared with me, I quote, "Families living in wild and remote parts of Britain needed to discourage their children from wandering alone onto the moors or into the mountains. So they filled these lonely places with fearful creatures such as Black Annis, who roams the Dane Hills of Leicestershire, scratches children to death with her long fingernails, eats their flesh, and drinks their blood. And when her foul feast is over, she hangs their skins to dry in her cave," unquote. And in another section of the book, it says that she hangs them on the oak tree. And again, here's a recording from Claire.
So in this reference here, I think they've classed her as a nature fairy. And it says that Black Annis, blue-faced hag, said to haunt Dane Hills of Leicestershire. And apparently there's a gentle Annie who governs storms in Scottish lowlands, and they think is descended from the Celtic goddess Anu or Danu, mother of Ireland's cave fairies. So yeah, she's maybe a nature fairy. Really interesting though.
And so that is really interesting. I agree. Definitely. Possibly she's a nature fairy. And again, I quote from her book, "Black Annis, the high ground to the right as one leaves Leicester by King Richard's Road and Glenfield Road, was known once as the Dane Hills. Here, respectable suburban homes and a convent occupy what was a dreaded patch of wasteland and the home of terrifying Black Annis. Black Annis's bower was said to be a cave clawed out of the hillside by her very own talons. Here, the witch-like hag, with her tattered hair and long yellowed fangs, lays in wait for disobedient children who had strayed too far from home. Parents would warn their children of the dreadful fate that awaited them if they played too long or late at night in the hills. Black Annis would seize them," unquote. And it says that Annis could be possibly Anu, wife of the sky god Lud. So, interesting stuff for sure. I'm so glad that I reached out to Claire because I didn't know any of that stuff. So, pretty neat. And another person that got back to me was Ian Varrow. Now, he's been on the radio show and the podcast. Great guy for sure. And he said, quote, "She is something I am only slightly familiar with, as it's something that is from the Midlands area. But I know investigators from that area, and they might have a better insight. I will message them and see what they know." And literally, I just reached out to him about this, so very, very short notice. So if I do hear back from him with any further information, I will give an update in a future episode. Big shout out to Claire Helen for being a part of this episode and looking up Black Annis for me. And speaking of shout outs, here's a shout out to Sean Curtis for being in last week's episode. I was really scatterbrained with everything going on with my dog that I spaced out doing that last week. So my apologies on the delay, Sean, but here it is now. Shout out to Claire Helen and Sean Curtis. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They're all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet. No need to fret. You could literally binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those awesome podcast platforms such as Blueberry, Deezer, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Downcast, Castbox. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. And remember, my friends, beware of Black Anise.